Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Kicking Cancer Podcast. My name is Brooke Brown.
I'm Marcus.
And we are so excited that you've joined us. You know, we want to walk with you through the season in our life where we walked through cancer. And, you know, that season really shaped us. It shaped our walk with the Lord. It shaped our family. And we want to just encourage you and equip you as you walk through different seasons in your life. So thanks for joining us. We're glad you're here.
Thanks. We're going to have fun together.
Let's go.
Hey, everybody. We've got some bonus coverage today. Another episode of Kicking Cancer. I got my friend with me, Alan Littlefield. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Hey, everybody. Alan Littlefield. Wow. Been coming to New Life now for, it's almost been a year, and have not missed a Sunday yet.
Are you serious?
Seriously. It's crazy how God works in your life, but yeah, man. Easter Sunday was the very first Sunday I came. And
how'd you hear about New Life?
Well, so it's funny. I've actually been a couple of times. Three times that I came, it was video.
Yeah.
Walked away just like, don't really know if I, you know, really felt it. And I guess, you know, God kind of pushed me in a spot at that very moment, which you and I have talked about, actually. We, you know, I came in and spoke with you, I guess, what was that, beginning of May, I think, is when we talked.
Yeah, that's right.
Around then. But yeah, he just put me in a situation. My best friend, Matt Pate, was like, hey, why don't you come to church with us on Sunday for Easter Sunday? I was like, okay, I'll come. And came that Sunday, and it's
I mean, and I think I remember seeing you in a Connect class or something.
Two months in, decided. I was gonna go ahead and go to the Connect class and see what New Life was all about. And
then we got on a missions trip together. How'd you end up on that trip?
That's what's crazy. Never in a million years, like, mission trip wasn't even on my radar, not at all. Pat Hill, actually, he and I were neighbors, a lot of years. Never really interacted is the thing. I mean, he was up a couple of houses and across the street. We saw each other in passing, but the day that I was actually moving out of my house, the very last day I was going to be there, I went up to his house and was like, "Hey, I've got some parts for cars if you want them. Otherwise, I'm just going to throw them out." So he's like, "Yeah." So he came down to the house and we went through kind of talking about. I was like, "Hey, you're at New Life, right?" And he said, "Yeah," and so he kind of started talking to me about serve team, and he was like, you know, we do serve team on Saturday. And he had already been talking to me a little bit more about making the church smaller, because it is such a big church, you know, and to get what you need out of it, you've got to make it smaller and find that core group of people. So came to the kickoff for life group, and he was like, man, sign up. So I was like, okay. So signed up, very first Saturday for serve. Woke up, and as I was getting ready, I prayed that God would give me a servant's heart and just use me for what he needs me for, not what I want out of this. And, you know, just something as simple as putting paper in seat backs, you know, just to reach people. Not an hour later, Pat said, Alan, you need to go on the mission trip with us.
You must have been good at putting paper in the seat backs.
I guess I was, yeah. Yeah, no, so I ignored him. I ignored it. I was like, no, this is not happening. So then he was like, Alan, I'm for real. And I was like, when is it? And he was like, it's going to be November. I was like, and so I just sat there. I remember thinking in my head, I was like, God, you're crazy. Like, this is too much right here. Like, this is a lot, you know.
This wasn't on your list of things to do for the year.
No, not at all. So I just turned to him. I was like, all right, I'm in. And that trip changed my life. I mean, met some great people, got to meet you more, you know, understand you a little bit more. Turner, David, you know, getting to meet him. And then just everybody that was on the trip, I mean, you know, on the construction crew. I mean, just a great group of guys.
You work like an animal. What do you do for a living?
So I'm in the technology world. I do cybersecurity consulting.
Okay.
Worked for IBM for about 7 years, and just actually, that it's funny, the day that we left for the trip, I was 1 week into a new job, and I told him, I was like, hey, I've got this mission trip, I'm going on it regardless, so if it's going to be a problem, I'll stay where I am at IBM, otherwise, and it's funny, because there was a point where they were like, hey, just don't say anything to the CEO, but just go, and I was like,
Turner does this to me all the time.
Man. So I sat there and I was just like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
So I slept on it that night and woke up the next morning. And I was just like, look, if this is going to be that kind of problem, then that goes against everything that is my beliefs and my faith.
This is with your values. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, I can't, God doesn't want us to basically hide him.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what I would have been doing. And so I was like, look, if it's going to be a problem, I'm not moving. I'm staying at IBM. And so they went, worked it all out, and came back and said, hey, it's fine. Go ahead and go.
It was when we were on that trip we realized we've been through similar things. Your story worked out different than mine. Brooke was diagnosed with cancer back in 2015. And just, I mean, we had an aggressive bout with cancer, went through on the other side. Why don't you just tell everybody your story? And let's take it from there.
Okay. Yeah. So, my wife and I, man, we had known each other since elementary school. She was a year older than me. Got married young, got married 6 months into dating.
Oh, wow.
It was a weird time in my life. She was not a Christian. And like we were just talking about, you know, I grew up in church every, you know, twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday.
That's right.
It's just the way that it was then.
You were either Baptist or Assembly of God. I know
yeah,
that.
You were. And it's, you know, she grew up in, you know, going to church every once in a while. So we started dating and, six months in, decided, okay, we're going to get married. By 6 months, yeah, just a little after 6 months, we were married in December of 2001, yeah, and so started you know, living life, I guess, at 20, you know, we were married.
Wow.
And by the time she was 26, She was diagnosed with cancer, cervical cancer.
Okay.
Did not know the significance of what was about to happen in our life. She was pregnant with our daughter Allie, and went to her OBGYN, and he was just doing a exam and was just like, see something that, you know, kind of has me worried. And so we were like, okay. You know, still, I mean, at that age, at 26, you're not thinking about
right,
anything like
of course.
That. So he referred us to another doctor. We go to the doctor. We sat in the waiting room for probably 4 hours that day, waiting to get back to see him. I can probably tell you that there were 10 times that Summer was like, let's just leave. This is nothing. There's no reason to stay. You know, it's mm-hmm. not a big deal. I was like, well, let's just wait, you know. Like something just kind of kept pushing to stay there. And so we found out about a week later that.
So he ran some tests there.
Yeah. So he did some, she went through a lot of tests, leaps, mm-hmm. Cone biopsies, all kind of different tests to try to find out exactly what was going on. And all the while, you know, she's pregnant with Allie. So went through that, had Allie, and actually a week and a half after Allie's sixth birthday is when she passed. We actually had Allie's birthday in the ICU unit so Summer could be there at St. Vincent.
So how long was her battle with cancer?
So her battle was 7 years.
Okay.
She probably one of the strongest women I've ever met in my life. You know, that definitely headstrong, like was determined that this was not going to define her. She was going to beat it. And she did for, you know, there was about a 6 month period where she was in remission. You know, the cancer was gone, but we later found out the type of cancer that it was, which was glandular.
So it comes back.
It can move.
It can move.
And you don't see it. And so where they did the biopsy, it wasn't there at that time. So, and we honestly did not know how bad it actually was. There was another time where they sent us down to have some scans done, and they gave us her folder. And so I'm going through it. I'm just reading through it. I'm like sure. reading through things. And I was like, and I came across one page and was reading through the page, and it said stage 4C. And I just stopped and I just stared. And it took me a couple minutes.
Had it not been told to you that it was stage 4 or it just hadn't registered?
No, hadn't been told to us.
Oh, wow.
So I just looked over at her and I was like, did you know this was stage 4C? And she was just like, no. I was like, and she said, what does that mean? I was like, that's the worst. Like, you don't get any worse than stage 4C. Like, that's, you know, coming back from that's going to be really hard. I was like, and it all just sunk in at that moment, kind of.
Everything is stacked against you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let me go back to her being pregnant and you get diagnosed. Did you guys have to make decisions on treatment based on the pregnancy too? Or was it just like, how does that go when you're pregnant?
So, there was an option, you know. Could have aborted Allie. And it's like, you know, that's not an option.
You're right.
And you hear that and you think, wow, you know, could that have saved her life? But at the same time, you know, that's every woman's dream is to, you know, have a child. And so it didn't even come up as an option. You know, it was mentioned and it was like immediately, no, not even going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, it's that or it's, you know, you wait it out, you keep an eye on it, and, you know, you really can't start the radiation or chemo until after. So she went full term. And then it was, all right, what's the plan of attack now?
And then Allie's point of view for the first 6 years of her life, her mom, you know, is basically battling cancer.
Yeah.
That's all she knew.
All she knew, yeah.
Man, this is where the story is totally different than us, you know. We were telling our kids who had only seen their mom healthier than me.
Yeah.
You know, her mom was just super healthy, energetic. I was the one that ate at Cracker Barrel twice a week. So that's what Allie knew growing up.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, this may not be the right analogy, but, you know, it's somebody with like that has a disability. They know no different. You know, to them, their life is normal. Mm. You know, and to her, that was normal. You know, even though all of her friends, none of her friends' parents, you know, had that issue. You know. She was like, this is all I know. And it did not slow Summer down at all. You know, she was, if she had chemo and Allie had something going that night, she was going to make sure she was going to be there for it. Yeah. So, I mean, it was, and that's.
She was all in.
Oh yeah. Mama. All in. I mean, and I traveled with work then. And there's a, you know, there's another story around where I was out on a trip and, but yeah, it was one of those things where she was not going to let it define, cancer was not going to define her. She was going to define it. Mm-hmm. And everything was about Allie and making sure that she had everything that she needed and a present mom, no matter what the cost was to, you know, Summer suffering through it.
Right. So tell me, like, what was your journey, your, like, spiritual journey through this? Y'all are going through this storm. You were raised in a Christian home and a godly home. You said that Summer was not a believer. How did you guys?
So that was
what spiritually is going on. I'm interested in that too.
So the funny thing is, and I think, so I actually posted on Facebook about our very first date, mm-hmm. And where God started working in that moment between us, and you know, she grew up in a house where cussing was the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just common language, and I didn't. I mean, you know, the four cuss words that, you know, I guess most parents will use when they get frustrated, but they don't go over the edge with it. That was the worst I ever heard.
Yeah.
You know, we were in the car and she dropped GD, and I stopped the car right where I was and just said, look, you know, you can't say that. And she just looked at me. I was like, it's not for me. It's for you and your salvation. You know, God doesn't want us using his name in vain. So for you to sit here, say that, that's going to affect you. You know, I was 19 years old at the time, maybe. Yeah, 19. And I thought, wow, this is going to be the end of this. This, you know, this isn't going any further. But God worked in that moment. And I was like, look, I still want to go on this date. If you don't, I understand. I'll take you home. And she was like, no, I want to go. And that moment, you know, I think was a turning point in her life, mm-hmm. and in mine, because, you know, God just made me stand up for him, something that I probably never would have thought about doing. I mean, I don't guess I ever would have thought I would have to, because my parents were very much against it, mm-hmm. me and her being together, because they were of the belief that, hey, you know, Christians are supposed to marry Christians. And I actually told my mom one day, she called me, and I was like, look, when we were going to get married, and I said, how do you know this is not God wanting me to do this? Because there's something else that's going to happen. And at this time, didn't have a clue about what was going to happen 6 years from then. And I mean, it pretty much shut my mom up about it. She was just like, all right, I can't, you know, I can't argue that. So we got into church. I would probably say about 2 years into our marriage, she was saved. Hmm. And, the church, you know, actually the church asked me, hey, will you, you know, which there was like one or two youths, will you lead the youth when they come, when they're here? I was like, okay. It was an older church. I was like, sure. And, you know, Summer was right there with me. Like she didn't go to church, to her Sunday school or anything. She was right there with me, beside me, eager to learn, eager to be a part of it. Yeah. It changed her. Like it what God did to her from what she was when we first met to what she was when she passed, night and day difference.
Wow.
Just a huge difference. I mean,
did the news, she's got cancer, you're in this battle, did it draw you closer to God? What happened during that storm? What did you learn while you were on that journey?
Yeah.
Good, bad, it didn't matter.
I mean, so it did. I would say that it did not, definitely not to the degree that you and Brooke talked about,
yeah,
in y'all's podcast. But it was, but yeah, I mean, church was our focus. By this time, we had actually moved to Park Hill, mm-hmm. and so we were going to Park Hill Baptist and had a lot of friends. So that really helped us through that whole
time. 'Cause you had community,
exactly,
some relationship.
Yes,
it's a great church.
Yeah, and they, it was interesting how, just to see her, just mesh with, and meeting other women, mm-hmm. you know, that same age, just that just kind of propped her up a little bit, you know, and in a tough time of her life, you know, and she just, you know, she was just. It was almost like she was one of them her entire life. Like, not that she was a new Christian ever. Like, she's been a Christian all her life. I mean, it was refreshing to see her in that element because she was so comfortable in it.
So she's on this battle 7 years. Was there a point where you knew she might not make it out of this, that you had to really just face it and go?
No. There was never, that's just it. There was never a point. We even though we saw the 4C, mm-hmm. In the paperwork, it did not hit us until, actually it would have been this time, about this time right now, in 2013, where the professor at UAMS came in, and it was because her regular surgeon wasn't there that day. So the other one was making the rounds, and she just said, she looked at Summer, and I remember the look on her face because we had never met her. And it was so the softball size tumor on your right side couldn't be removed, and the cancer has basically metastasized everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
And at that point, that's when we knew. And we knew, and then later that afternoon, her surgeon came in and sat on the bed and just cried and was like, I didn't want to tell y'all. You know, we were young. You know, by this time, we were 31, 32. But there were a lot of things happening physically to her body that we knew that something was happening that wasn't a good thing. Just the surgeries that she had to go through. Her friends know this, but you know, she had a colostomy and a urostomy. Mm-hmm. And so I was constantly helping her with that. You know, I was like, hey, you're not going to do this. I'll handle it for you. It's not something you should have to take care of. She had enough. Yeah. So that's when we found out that how severe, you know, and really what the prognosis was.
And so how long from then before she passed away?
So it was probably, probably about 3 weeks. Three and a half. We actually moved from UAMS at that point because her doctor was like, there's nothing more I can do. And so one of her hematologist, Dr. Baltz, was just like, hey, get her to St. Vincent. I'll take care of her. And so she was in ICU. Her pain was so bad that all the fentanyl that the hospital had was being used on her, and they had a company outside providing fentanyl for all the surgical patients.
Yep. I know how that goes with my mom.
Yeah.
Where she was at her last stages of cancer. My goodness. And then it's like when the suffering is gone, there is a relief that happens to, you know, everyone around her going, okay, she is definitely in a better place. And, you know, that's why I believe, you know, that healing, God heals in a lot of ways. He helps heal through doctors. He can heal supernaturally. But heaven, it's not a cop-out. It really is a place of healing. Because God doesn't look at our life like with a period attached to it. When you're a believer, it's a comma. And so you might get healing before the comma or after the comma, but in God's eyes, all of us receive a healing. All of us get a healing, you know. So,
yeah. Whew. And that's part of the thing, too, is that, you know, I felt a weight lifted off of my shoulders the day that she did pass. Not because of I wasn't going to have to take care of her. I knew she wasn't hurting anymore.
Yeah.
Because I knew, like you said, you know, the ultimate healer, he had healed her, and she's, you know, and welcomed her home. So, yeah, it's.
And so that was 11 years ago.
Yeah, it'd be 11 years on March 5th.
And you've been a widower raising daughter, junior, right?
Junior in at North Little Rock. As headstrong as her mom is. Wow. And that's the part I was like. I've said a few times, I was like, "God, you're playing a sick joke. This is cruel, is what this is, making me of all people raise a daughter." But she is a great kid. A lot like her mom, though. There are times where she will do things that I will look at her and I will see her mom, and to know that she didn't see her mom doing those things. Mm-hmm. It tells
that's
me
something
that it's, you know,
yeah,
it's,
I know,
hereditary. Like,
oh my goodness.
So yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
She's got her mom's fingerprint on her.
Oh yeah,
That's definitely awesome. Give me a couple of things that you have learned and through all of this, and any questions that you have when you were going through this that you think people are probably walking around if they're in these situations. They need to know these things, or they may be having these questions.
So the biggest thing is, I think that I learned from this is you're never going to understand it. You never, there's, you know, that day will come when you get to meet the Lord, you know, he'll explain it then, but yeah. it's, you know, to this day, it doesn't make sense.
When Brooke was diagnosed with cancer, it was the first thing out of her mouth was, why?
Yeah.
You know, why did this happen?
Yeah.
And you know, with all the things that we've had to happen to our family, that's the one that you fight. It's like something you have to drop at the feet of Jesus and go, one of these days, but yeah. Not now, you know, the why.
Yeah. And I think that's very common. I mean, that's because it's very humbling, especially at a young age when you think you're just invincible, you know, to have something like this happen to you. Because Summer did the same thing there toward the end. She was just like, why me? Yeah. I care about my child, you know, and all these people who don't care about their kids, you know, what about them? But then immediately it turned, and this is something I've never told anybody. But in that moment, she turned and apologized to me. And I just sat there and I was like, why? Why are you apologizing to me? And she said, because I'm not going to be here.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, that kind of thing sinks in. And
that's a selfless heart.
Yeah. And that's what God did, though. God changed her heart to be that. And, I mean, that's when I knew she loved me.
Yeah. Yep. I'm glad you shared that. That is what a way to honor her. Never going to understand the why.
Yeah,
no. I think it's like what you're becoming in the middle, though. When you let that why go, we're just not the same people. I don't know anybody who's went through any suffering.
Yeah.
That, you know, nobody enjoys it, but you come out of that fire and you're just like, I'm not the same person. There are things that are just been branded inside of me and galvanized inside of me. And, you know, there's been a lot of good and a lot of ways that God has used this, you know. Anything else that you would share on that?
Well, I mean, love. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I think you cannot go into a season of your life, this type of a season, where you don't love like God wants us to love, you know. So God tells us that we should be, you know, we should love him with all of our heart. Mm-hmm. And which means you can't have one foot in, one foot out. You know, it's all or nothing. And that's the same way you should go about your spouse or your significant other in a relationship. You know, it should be that your heart is fully with that person. Love, you can't have head love, because head love's it's based on a thought, and you can change your mind in an instance. But it's hard to change your heart when you.
I think this is such a good thing that you're putting into words, because I haven't thought about it until you're talking. But when you're suffering, your love is sacrificial love, because you don't have the feelings, you don't have the euphoric, you know. Yeah. This. I think the Bible would describe it. There's different types of love. There's friendship love. There's erotic love. You know, but all of those things are kind of gone. You know, because when you are in pain and you're suffering and you're taking chemo and you smell like chemicals, and it's just that selfish love of God, sacrificial agape love. And there's just something special about that kind of love, you know, that is just from this godly place in my heart.
Yes. But that's when you find out what your love is, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not God testing you, but it's how you respond in that moment that God's taking notice of. And, yeah. We had a rough beginning. I think everybody goes through a rough beginning in a marriage because you're adjusting. You're adapting to Absolutely. Two people together now. It's no longer, oh, I'm going to go do this. It's, oh, hey, you're part of this too. What are we going to do? So it's hard to get into that mode. But
everybody has a while adjusting to me.
but I think that you cannot, like, you can't think you love somebody and go into a season like this, because as soon as it gets tough, you're gonna bail. Mm-hmm. And that person, that's not gonna help that person out. I mean, so if you're in that part, if you feel that way about somebody where you think, you know, that's how you love people, then you need to get in the Bible, you need to get in church, you need to see what God says about love, and you need to learn that that's the way you should love somebody with your heart. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, man, it's some of the hardest stuff. I mean, if I had the opportunity to go relive all this again, 100% I would. I would not shy away from it one bit.
But these two things you can take into the rest of your life, you know, after the aftermath of all of this, and you're talking about, you know what to do with the why now.
Yeah.
And you know what to do. You know what real love is now, kind of looking forward to, looking into the future of the rest of your life, you know.
Yeah.
So you're raising this daughter, doing the best you can, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
it is a struggle. It is. That's the one thing, you know. I would trade places in a heartbeat with her. I would give up everything I had and have if it meant Summer could come back just for 5 seconds. Just so Allie had a chance to just talk to her, just get a hug from her. Allie and I have definitely had we've had our struggles over the years. There are things that, I'm not that nurturing dad. I'm not the one who, you know, I'm not, not affectionate, you know, when it comes to my child. And I've told her, I was like, I'm going to start working on that. So that's been one of my goals this year, you know, tell her I love her more. We had a long talk one night, and that was one of the things I said. I was like, you know, it's not fair that you don't have a mom. I'm sorry, you know. If I could change it, I would change it in a heartbeat. But that's when she kind of, you know, I guess a kid's not supposed to put their parents in their place, but at that moment she definitely did. And she goes, well, that's why you got to be different.
She's 16,
yeah,
right?
16,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, she knows it.
No doubt about it.
But she's like, but that's why you have to be different. And I was like, that's fair. I'll give that to you. And I will work on that. I will work on that.
So. Well, I think, like, the best way you can look at this is going, you have somebody to honor with the whole rest of your life.
Yeah.
You have Summer's legacy, and you're honoring her and walking in that as a man of God, and you're raising this daughter, and God's got his hand on her life too. He's got a great future for her.
And please don't think I don't fumble, because I fumble all the time. So
we know that. I went to Peru with you.
So. Yeah.
What happens in Peru stays in Peru.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, let's do this again.
Yeah.
You know, I think, for all of you guys listening, you know, so a lot of things surface when we get to talk about this. This is what happened with me and Brooke. We would talk and flesh things out, and then we leave and go, oh, man, my goodness, we got 3 or 4 more things we want to talk about. So I hope we do this again where we can help some people, because with our story of walking through cancer, there's a lot of people who are left going, hey, my loved one passed away. And I'm raising kids, and there's more story to tell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and definitely don't compare your story to somebody else's.
That's exactly right.
Because it's never going to make sense for you. I mean, that's one of the big things. I did that in the beginning, you know, and, yeah. But, yeah, just don't go there, you know.
You got it? All All right, guys. Till next time.
We are so thankful you tuned in for today's episode.
That's right. I felt like I nailed it.
hopefully you really learned something that's going to help you. And we just want to say thank you for being here with us. And we can't wait to share another chapter with you next time.
Don't forget to like and subscribe to follow what's going on this journey and share it with people that you know that need it. And also know that this is just a supplement. This is not your relationship with Christ. Get involved in your local church. Find some people that can surround you, because you need to be in a local church in the season you're in right now.
That's right. Until next time. Bye-bye. Bye.